Welcome, Fanatics. This is the latest entry in the Diary of Doom. I'm your Cypher, Dylan, and join me as we look back on the rich history of Doom Metal and its sister sounds based on the recounted tales of its followers. Every week, we'll have a different guest to spin their yarn. Visit the website at diaryofdoom.com. Follow us on Instagram and like us on Facebook. You can listen to the podcast on diaryofdoom.podbean.com and subscribe and listen on iTunes and Spotify. And you can reach me via email, diaryofdoom1968@gmail.com. I didn't have a creative intro for my email that time, but whatever. And joining me for this chapter this week is Kai from Trophy Hunt. And they are a, as I believe you have it on your Bandcamp page, a grindcore band from New York City. And they kick ass. So thank you for coming on the show.
Hi, thank you. So happy to be here. Yes, we are a New York grindcore band. That is true.
And actually, Trophy Hunt has a record out this year. Or maybe it's an EP. It's not super long.
I'd say, yeah, like an EP.
I re-listened to it today, you know, just to refamiliarize myself with Trophy Hunt. And that was the one that I saw on Spotify. Is this the first, like, assembled, like, fully released, like, album that you've put out? Or do you have other stuff?
No, that's the first one. We had put out a handful of, like, singles or little, like, 2-3 song things. But this is the first, like, proper EP and physical release we've done.
Cool. So I am familiar with Trophy Hunt because I saw you back in 2018 at the Black Flags Over Brooklyn Festival put together by Kim Kelly. It featured a roster of anti-fascist bands, and just recently I had Sunrot on. They were another band on the bill, and
they're amazing. I love them.
Yeah, great folks. They're kind of like my neighbors because we're both from New Jersey, so I have a special affinity for them. But that was, as I also said, like the first time that I went to a metal show, and it felt like to me sort of like one of the first times that I was seeing bands addressing progressive topics, you know, more so than like, hey, we're all here to have a good time and love each other, you know, let's rock and roll.
Sure. Yeah. Like, it really like explicitly political and like very timely political statement. Yeah. I have a lot of respect for that. Like, I think, Kim was doing amazing work by putting that together.
Yeah. She did a great job.
And the roster was killer too. It was just such a good show.
It was, and we couldn't stay because unfortunately my girlfriend was like came down with a pretty brutal cold, so we just like couldn't stay for that long. But we wanted to go and show some support, and Trophy Hunt was one of the bands that we got to see, and very happy that we did get to see them. So like leading up to forming Trophy Hunt, what were your earliest experiences with music? Did you have a musical upbringing, or did you kind of find it a little bit later on, or what?
I come from a really musical family, actually. Both of my parents are really young, and both of them like played in punk bands in New York City.
Oh, that's fucking awesome.
yeah, it was cool. Honestly, like in a weird way, I think it caused me to like resist it a little at first, like weirdly, like when I got into high school and like people were starting to like tap into like hardcore and stuff, and people would want to like listen to like the Cro-Mags or Nausea, and I'd be like, that's my mom's music. And I definitely like was like more on like a wave of like goth shit, you know, like but no, my first musical experiences, like I always wanted to be in bands like from the time I was about 14, and I played in a bunch of like, honestly, just like MySpace metalcore bands, like a series of those that we played out and stuff, but there's no real recorded material of them, thank God.
It was sort of like you needed an outlet, so that was like what you did.
Absolutely. And like I didn't know how to play an instrument at first, so like I sang, and then like I wanted to be more involved in songwriting, so I taught myself the bass, and like I started playing bass in bands, and then I wanted to be a little more involved and just write the songs myself, so I taught myself guitar, and so that's where I ended up landing.
Okay, right on. It's funny about your parents, because actually my mom was a punk rocker back in the day as well. So I kind of always just skirted to the side of her musical taste because I liked heavy metal, or what to me at the time of that point in my life when I was in high school, like what I perceived to be like heavy metal, you know, which was probably much to like her chagrin when I was like, can I get a Jethro Tull album?
Oh yeah. That's so cool though. Like, I don't know. Like, yeah, I feel the same way. Like my mom definitely was like, when I started leaning harder into the metal thing. And for me, it was like really like, I think I got into melodic death metal really early and my mom was just not about it. And then like, it's funny because I feel like I circled more around to like a crustier sort of sound that would have resonated with her.
Yeah. Maybe it's because of the, like, I don't know. You might have a different perspective because your parents sound like are a bit younger than like my mom. But for me, it was always like there was kind of a very like kind of fine divide between like heavy metal and punk rock, just because like back then the ideologies was always like metal always kind of ran a little bit more right and punk was, you know, left all Absolutely. Like all the way to the left. So I think it was like there was always that sort of like I don't want to, I guess, a friction, so to speak, you know, because I remember my mom telling me stories of like just being like, I fucking hated when heavy metal people would come around because they were all just like bigoted assholes and sure. and shit and just didn't like appreciate it. But now there's like, because the thing is like all the heavy metal like bands, they all love the punk rock, they all love the hardcore bands, but I think it was more for like the sound versus like what's going on. So I think there's probably like some misunderstandings as I've come to figure out. Also just like people don't listen to lyrics.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, that's the great tragedy of like playing in like a moderately political band is like, you know, I do consider Trophy Hunt to be like a political project. And it's like, how many people are going to read the lyrics, you know, and like, that's a hard thing. But, you know, like, whatever, someone's going to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So you were in some like screamo bands and you learned to pick up the bass. When did you start to get into metal or like heavy music, or was there a trajectory? Like, did you start with metal? Like, I started like with metal and then got a little bit more esoteric, and then now I just like love death metal.
You know, it's really funny because I think I had in some this very staggered sort of immersion where like I think I got into like black metal really young, like when I was 14 or 15. Mm-hmm. I was listening to like, you know, obviously like some like quote unquote false black metal, like Dimmu Borgir or Cradle of Filth. But I was also really into like Immortal and like Ulver and like that whole like Norwegian scene. And then after that, I got into like the mall metalcore thing. So it's like, it's a very reverse trajectory from I think most people. And I think that was just like always present for me. Like I always like, I liked all the genres, you know, like I liked a lot of hardcore and I liked a lot of mm-hmm. melodic death metal and I liked a lot of metalcore, and metalcore I think I ended up growing out of, but I think it's still present in like the way I play.
I would say so. Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's if the word core is in like a title, a genre of music, there's got to be some like thread connecting it to all the other cores.
Totally.
I just remember, like, I say it a lot on here, but when I was in college, where I grew to appreciate a lot more music than what I was listening to in high school, I just remember like a lot of the core bands were really big, and I just was like not into that in college. I went for just like kind of weird and like slower and more influenced by like marijuana, and then it was just like way later I was like, oh yeah, I love all this like heavy reverb shit. But now, you know, there's a lot of stuff.
That's the like funny thing is I feel like that too, like the slow and like headier stuff that you think of as like more like mature metal, I guess, right? Like I liked that when I was in high school, like at the same time as I was listening to like Atreyu or something else like awful like that, I was listening to like Isis and Pelican. You know, like
That's so funny. I haven't thought about Atreyu in I don't even know how long. I never listened to them, but I just remember they were always like one of those, like, Atreyu, PNC Bank Art Center.
I think it might be too late for you to like appreciate Atreyu.
I think you're right. I think that that ship has sailed. And
there's a time and a place, and it's not anymore.
I've done that a couple of times to revisit bands that I listened to in high school. And sometimes it works, and other times I'm like, this is very much from that time period and I cannot bring it back to now. It is either not relevant or just, I'm like, nope, this is just not applicable at all.
I know exactly what you mean. So, I had a really positive experience in that direction recently. Actually, I like on a lark decided to go back and listen to Spit by Kitty. And I was like, I listened to this.
Oh, that's so funny.
12 years old. And I loved Kitty when I was really young. And I went back and I listened to it. And I was like, you know what? I was right. This is cool. Like,
well, I didn't know too much about Kitty, but I listened to a podcast where they talked about the Kitty record. Cause it got trashed, or it got like a lot of criticism, but it seemed like it wasn't really that bad of a record. I don't remember.
It's kind of generic for like the time it's coming out, but I don't know. It's like a little less silly than like Coal Chamber or like Static X, you know, like.
Yeah, Boba Flex.
Which maybe is like, oh my God. Like, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I have never really particularly enjoyed bands of that nature, because that to me is just like mass produced metal. That's sure. Just not my thing. There's very few bands of that nature that I'm like a fan of, and like I'm trying not to be super like critical, but that stuff just never really gelled for me.
No, I mean, whatever. If it's not your taste, like that's like totally fine. I mean, I feel the same way. There's only like, I think I loved System of a Down. Like that was my band. Like I was obsessed with them, but I get why people don't like them. And like, it's not like everything they did was perfect.
No, they put out some pretty not great material, but
there's some real bad songs, especially in the latter end of that discography.
Yeah, well, I mean, that band is just like kind of like well known for being, they all just don't like each other, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
And their drummer's like crazy.
Yeah, I don't even want to talk about John. That's like a heartbreak that like cuts too deep for me. You know what I mean? Because again, like I'm imagining being like 12 years old and having my like headphones under my long hair in middle school and like listening to Chop Suey on the radio and my teacher not knowing I'm like listening to the radio because it's like under my hoodie or whatever. And I just don't want to think about like, oh God, like that, what that guy's involved with now.
But yeah, for me, like I was a big Linkin Park kid. And going back, I'm like, right on. I like these records. I haven't checked out anything like post Minutes to Midnight. It was the last one I listened to. I just was like, I don't really care anymore. But man, those old records, it's kind of nice to go back and be like, all right, right on. I get why I like this.
I think it's fun. Like some of the stuff I loved when I was younger, I still love. Like I love, and like It's the Hill I'll Die On. I love Thursday so much. There's a Jersey band for you. Like Thursday is my shit.
I know Thursday. I've never actually listened to Thursday, but my friends growing up listened to Thursday. And so we were actually, that was funny. We were laughing. I was talking to my friends about the Psycho Las Vegas lineup from this year, now for next year. And like, I sent it to my friend and I was just like looking at it and he's just like, Thursday?
Hey, listen, War All the Time goes kind of hard. Like, don't knock it till you try it.
I'll try it. I'll try anything once.
I think the vocals can be a hard sell if you don't love that band already, but we'll see.
I promise that I will give it a listen and let you know if it works for me.
But I'm telling you, at the same time as I was listening to like all of this stuff, like I was also like fully into like post-metal. Like I remember there was a festival one year called Taste of Chaos, right? And it was like, yeah. Killswitch Engage and My Chemical Romance, and I was the only like scene kid with a swoopy haircut that wanted to go see Pelican because they were on it for some reason I don't understand.
There was like, they were like, well, we don't really know what to do with this band, so we'll just like throw them on the bill. And they were probably like the band that was like, oh, we just had to tour with this band that was nothing like us, but it, because we were label mates, so we just got slapped on this festival lineup. And now they're like, I wouldn't say they're like headlining MSG, but like Pelican's pretty like.
No, they've had a really good career. Yeah, they've had a really good career. They're well respected, and they're a great band. I mean, like, yeah, and the old records from them that I liked back then, like Fire in Our Throats, is an incredible record. You know, I go back to that all the time.
What's the other one? Australasia.
Australasia is so good. It's so heavy.
Yeah, it's dope.
It's a monster.
That's definitely one that I enjoy going back to. But, you know, that's also what I think is like I guess sort of like there's my question, just to sort of like tie it into like what, you know, this podcast sort of is about, is that like, you know, the spectrum for what people seem to enjoy, who's, you know, favorite bands are from like doom metal. We'll just call like that the umbrella. Like the spectrum for what they want to listen to seems to be a lot wider than a lot of other genres. And especially given that there's like that, you know, the classic like metalhead, like I only listen to this. And
sure.
Just like, to me, like dumb and ignorant. But like, what do you think is like that, like the appeal there? Like why did all of like the bands who played really slow, you know, all of a sudden it's like, you know, you're going to a show where like everyone there is equally excited to see like Napalm Death, you know, Sleep and Godflesh, three bands that don't necessarily sound exactly the same. But
I mean, that's just a bill, dude. And like, well, you know, I think like a lot of the appeal of that is that, well, first of all, so you have the situations like Black Flags where it's like, oh, there's a political umbrella and like none of these, yeah, most of these bands don't really sound the same, right?
Right.
But there's like a uniting vision, right? And I think that's really cool because personally, like if I end up at a show and it's like, I like doom metal. There are like doom metal bands I like, just to be clear. I've talked about nothing but nu metal and screamo bands so far, but I do like doom metal.
Yes.
But if I went to a show and I saw like five doom metals in a bands in a row, I'm going to tune out at a certain point. Like I hit doom metal saturation and I can't do it. Right. Anymore, you know?
Yes, I agree. I totally agree with you on that. And that was just a bill I pulled out of my ass.
I mean, that's a bill.
Yeah, I would go there in a heartbeat too. But that's just like what I've kind of experienced being a fan of the music. It's like almost like I went in really deep into it and I was like, all right, I kind of need to like see some other stuff. And it just like opened the gateway for me to appreciate, you know, a band like Trophy Hunt, because I think that if you had pitched that to me when I was in college, I don't think I would have appreciated it, which is like, yeah, I guess it's just like a maturity thing. But I also think you made a good point about the sort of like the unified vision and whatnot, because also at the end of the day, I think that bands want to play with bands that they also enjoy their music with. So you do have the potential for a cool lineup like Black Flags over Brooklyn. Like if you want to like even separate it from the political angle of it, I'd probably just go to that fest because it rules. Like, yeah, the lineup was sick.
Oh, and I watched all the doom metal bands that they, I mean, like, I guess, like, who are the doom metal bands? You'd say, like, Vile Creature, Mourn, Sunrot. Yeah.
Was it Dawn Raid is like, kind of a doomy band? Was it
Dawn? Yeah, they're, like, black, yeah, metal too.
Yeah.
But I ate that up. Like, that was my shit. Those were some of the best sets of that weekend.
Oh, so good. So, getting to like Trophy Hunt, like, can you tell me the history of the band and how you put it together or how it came together?
Yeah, absolutely. Trophy Hunt started probably 5 years ago, like 2015. And that it was just like me writing songs in my bedroom. And I started playing with Nicole, who plays bass with us now. And we went through a long series of just like drummers and singers and getting people in and people leaving and having contention and just like not really finding a stable lineup for a really long time, but continuing to write through that whole time. And then in the summer of 2017, I want to say, I met Kayla, who was our previous singer, who was the singer you saw at Black Flags Over Brooklyn.
Okay, yeah.
And they became like a long-term fixture in the band. And we wrote like a lot of material with them in mind. And we toured pretty extensively with them. Like we did a bunch of stuff, and they quit like a year ago. Yeah, it's like a year ago now. I think it was exactly a year ago. And that was like, we had this mad scramble because we had already written a record and we like just wanted to get it done. And we even briefly considered like just doing the two-piece thing. But then Ash joined the band. She played in another band called Gula that we knew from the scene. And she joined up with us because she was playing drums in that band but wanted to sing. And okay. Then we recorded the record with her. And Anthony, our drummer, joins midway through the recording of the record. And he's someone I knew because I filled in on bass for this band, Ma'afa, who are like youth crew style hardcore band from Brooklyn with like an explicitly like black radical message. And I filled in on bass for them a couple times, and he plays guitar in that band, and he migrated over to playing drums with us.
That's the other thing you realize kind of about the Brooklyn scene is that people are in so many bands, and if they're not in a band, they're doing something else.
No, absolutely.
I was actually wondering about the vocals, because I was just sort of like looking at the band. I was like, I don't think that's the same vocalist that I saw them with. So now it makes sense.
Yeah, Kayla played with us at Black Flags, and they killed it that night. Like Kayla had a really great and unique voice, and I miss it sometimes, but like Ash has ended up being like such a important fixture in our band. And like, I really feel like, funnily enough, like the record we put out, like Silent Intercom, feels like this really great capstone on like the era of our band where we played without a drummer. Like it's a drum machine on the record, you know, and like
okay.
All those songs that we had accumulated over that course of 5 years. And honestly, I'm not absolutely certain it's going to happen, but we might have another EP this year.
That would be very cool.
Yeah, we've since the release of that written like an EP's worth of material, mostly thanks to the quarantine,
right,
leaving us with a lot of surplus time.
Right.
And I'm really excited for like the new era. It feels like being in a new band, honestly. I'm proud of what I did before, but like this feels like we've like really arrived at where we want to be.
Yeah, it's kind of like fully come together, and maybe in ways you didn't even expect.
Yeah, no, completely.
What's the origin of the name? Because I have to be honest, when I typed in even Trophy Hunt Band, it very quickly turned into a bunch of pictures of like dudes with guns and like dead animals, which was kind of
got real sad. Yeah. It's like it's a reflection of our like moderately like vegan, explicitly vegan past. Like there was a certain point in the band where most of the members of this band were vegan and most of the members of this band were straight edge. And it was like explicitly picked as like, oh, this is like a vegan political band, but we kind of migrated away from that. Although there is a still like definitely like a, I guess, an animal rights narrative in a couple of the songs, you know, although I don't think it ever gets really explicit.
Sure. Was the band, did it always originate as like place to express, you know, your like kind of the collective beliefs of the band or your beliefs and ideas, or did it like grow from over time, or is it just like, it's just one of those things that's kind of like natural to process because you write about what essentially like on your mind or what you're passionate about or whatever. I'll let you explain it.
Yeah. Like, so I would say there's only one song we ever like sat down and said, we're going to write a song about a specific political issue. And that's Burning Womb, which we originally did for the Risk for Reproductive Justice compilation that Kim put together. And that was like specifically about the like ban on abortion bills in, I forget where it is. The names of the cities are in Montgomery, Jackson, and Atlanta. So Georgia, Mississippi, and I forget the third state, but there, you know, it was a couple years ago, and there were these massive abortion bans that went into place, and we were at that song explicitly about that. But the rest of the songs, it's always been like, I definitely start from like an emotional place, you know, and then something political often emerges, but that's never really the angle, you know?
Right. But I understand like the trajectory, so to speak.
Yeah. I feel like that just like, if you're writing metal, right?
Yeah.
there's like a couple different speeds. And I feel like there's metal that's about fantasy, and there's a lot of that. And that's cool. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I love black metal, you know, and a lot of that is about the Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
You know? But then there's metal that's about reality. And I think particularly in the genre we're playing in, where like, which is much more informed by, like, as you were saying earlier, like very leftist political punk, like grindcore, it's metal, but it definitely grows out of a punk legacy, right?
Yes.
If you're writing about like the brutality of existence, inevitably you're probably going to make a political statement.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. And actually, it's a kind of a good segue, because like the music on Silent Intercom ranges, at least for me, it's like that brutal, like noise metal and hardcore, which I, you know, grindcore, to like even just some very like ambient and like minimalist sections. You know, I really like this sort of like, I guess it's like an amalgamation of music that seems to be like part metal, part hardcore, punk rock, and like part experimental. And you hear it in bands like Couch Slut or Sun Ra and Vile Creature. Like, what are some of your some of the influences you pull from to like get that sound? Or did you just like, I'm gonna just fuck around on the bass guitar and see what comes out of it?
Well, first of all, thank you. Like, those are some very, very flattering comparisons you're laying on us. I really appreciate that, because I love all of this. But so where we're coming from, I think like in terms of where I was pulling from with guitar playing, I'm very influenced by like obviously like grind stuff, like Nassim, I think has a huge influence on my playing, and like Magruder grinds, but also like you're saying, from like hardcore bands like Ludax or Blacklisted, or that the whole like Deathwish catalog.
Yeah.
I think like, you know, Converge is always like a really heavy influence on me. Like, that's been like one of my favorite bands for almost 20 years now. But I think like there are definitely like at the beginning of a band, I think the best way to approach it is like, who do I want to rip off? And like just starting from that point. But hopefully at a certain point you drift away from that and start like finding your sound. And I feel like, I don't think there's anything on Silent Intercom that's like explicitly lifted from something else, you know?
I wouldn't say so. It's not that kind of a record, you know? And like, and believe me, take it from the guy who listens to a shit ton of, excuse me, doom metal, where I'm like, nice, two sure. chords.
Yeah. You
know? And yeah. I like all that stuff, and I do listen to a lot of it, but you know, for me, it's got to really like stick the landing. And you know, I've always like, I've gravitated to it for a long time, but I've never wanted to like if someone's like, you need to listen to this record, like regardless of genre, I'll probably check it out. And that's why I've just been like dipping into like so much death metal recently, but there's just like there has been a lot of really cool jams that have come out this year, so it's like this record.
Oh, thank you. And actually, as you're saying, like, I definitely listen to a lot of stuff that's outside of metal. Like, I think like when you're talking about some of like the interlude stuff on the record, like that's there mostly to just like give some breathing room, because I think like getting just beaten to death with 10 like grind songs is kind of hard, you know?
Yeah.
But like that's also because I listen to just like a ton of indie rock. And I really love like just like sad like indie songs. Like I listen to a ton of Land of Talk and like S and that kind of stuff, you know?
I think that's a huge influence with them.
Honestly, Land of Talk goes hard. I recommend it to any guitar players. Like that's some good material right there.
Jot that down.
Yeah.
I always like to see what folks are listening to.
Totally. I do the same thing. I have a huge like note in my phone of just like everything that gets recommended to me. Like anything that gets recommended to me, I listen to it eventually, you know?
Yes, I'm the same way. It's just like there's like life is too short not to listen to all this good stuff.
Absolutely. Like, I love music at the end of the day. That's like why I play, you know?
Mm-hmm. Can you talk about some of the efforts that like you're taking as a band to help erase the division amongst people like in the music scene, especially like right now, because we're at such like an inflection point in like American history where I mean, where like social structures are being broken down for good reasons and bad reasons. Sure. And by the bad, I mean like where the law is being completely violated, but also just like in terms of, you know, the efforts like people are trying to do with like the Black Lives Matter movement, whatnot. And like, you know, metal, the metal scene, I think, is a scene that needs a little bit of help to kind of break down some of those, you know, those brown, those boundaries. So like, is there anything you've been doing as a band to like kind of look and try to fix that?
I mean, you know, like, I feel like we have a very modest platform, and, you know, I guess like the easiest thing to point to in terms of like, we've mostly tried to just be quiet while a lot of the discussion around Black Lives Matter is happening, because it's just really like not a conversation that like we need to be like included in, and we want to like make space for like, you know, like Black artists to have a lot of the like bandwidth that people are doing. So we're not like trying to do anything promotional, you know, during this time, or like really like we've really laid off social media for the period, with the exception of, you know, Bandcamp, in an effort to, I guess, help like artists during the quarantine, waived their processing fees a couple times, and we took that as an opportunity to do some fundraising, and we were able to do some pretty successful fundraisers for Black Visions Collective, For the Girls, and I think those were the two we did. Yeah. And the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, when Bandcamp was donating to that. But I think we don't try to, I'm very wary of branding ourselves as like a political band, or like granting that to ourselves. Cause like, it's like, I don't know, like what I sort of struggle with the question of like, well, what does that mean to be like a political band? Like what's the benchmark of it? Like, but I feel like all of us are political minded people. And so we try to do a lot of benefits, and we try to be like, we try to give away as much as we can, you know? But I really like, I want to walk the line always between like, I just like, don't want it to ever turn into like a promotional stunt. You know what I mean?
Right. Of course. I think probably that's just like an unfortunate side effect of like just labeling, and the fact that people just like need to have something pinned down as something specifically, and to just be like, oh, we're a political band, or like we're a political punk band, or a political hardcore band, or whatever title you want it to be, you know, political insert, you know, name here, you know, that does like pigeonhole you as specifically like this thing, where it's like, you know, people should be intelligent enough to like understand what you're talking about. You know, I would like to think that you are like, we're not like catering to like idiots. You know, we hope that people understand like we have like a message that's like good and like intelligent and, you know, helpful to other people.
Yeah. And I think, you know, like we've spent a lot of time playing in like, you know, what I would call like the queer scene, right?
Yeah.
And we've never like explicitly branded ourselves as a queer band, because again, like I'm just like, I'm kind of not sure what that would mean. Like, you know, like mm-hmm. is there a queer sound? It's not that I could identify, you know, but I think like living and existing as queer people in metal has led us down certain avenues. And luckily those have been like some channels for like really effective work, you know, like it's weird, because like as much as like I guess it's like sort of like we've done work for benefits and stuff, like it's felt very joyful, because like I don't know, we got to do this big benefit like a year ago in Washington DC. It was this huge benefit show for Rojava with us, Infant Islands, this amazing
stream band. I love that band.
They're incredible.
Their new record is amazing.
Dude, both of them, they put out two, and they're both really, really good.
Oh, there's another one. Shit.
Yeah, there's like Sepulture, which is like the very black metal one. And there's Beath, which is the moderately black metal one.
Well, I'm going to have to listen to that one now. Oh, dude, my God, that record blew me away. The first one that really blew me away. I was like, holy shit, this is amazing.
Yeah, they're a great band and really, really great people. And they put on one of the most amazing performances I ever saw when we played them in DC. I had never even heard of them prior to that. But we played with them, Homo Superior, No Man, and Anti-Flag. Anti-Flag was the headline. And it was this like amazing benefit show. And like, I don't know, like, again, like I feel like doing that kind of stuff, like being able to like be on these bills that are about something always feels much more gratifying to me than like, I love playing like a regular like bar show, but you know, like, it's like, I don't know. There's just like a certain amount of like energy to that, that like is really gratifying to me and like fits with like my vision of what I want to be, you know?
Yeah. I understand what you're saying. And I totally get that. This might be a little bit redundant, given what we were just talking about. So like this podcast is ultimately about fans and fandom. And, you know, again, with the recent social changes, like I've seen recently how longtime fans are responding to bands making social statements. And I think that like the good tends to outweigh the bad, but it's, you know, the people who are like very like, you know, almost like personally offended, you know, with the very tired, like music isn't political, they're always the loudest and they're always the ones that are like proclaiming they're abandoning the fandom because, you know, they can't stand it and whatever. You know, I'm not sure if Trophy Hunt has ever had someone or has ever had like a person say something like that to you. You know, it's just like, you know, some asinine, ignorant comment or whatever. Just like, I never knew you supported like, you know, LGBTQ plus rights. I hate this band or something dumb like that. But you strike me as a band that, you know, grew up in a musical community, which you have in Brooklyn, in, you know, the many circles of the people that are in the band, you know, have traversed to get there now. But like, kind of what's your perspective on like the concept of like what fandom is and like how, I mean, and this is kind of going into the same one, but like, how can fans be like better people?
Oof, that's a task. I mean, I'd say like the idea of apolitical music is absurd. Like, I don't know what artistic expression is not making some political statement. Like, it's there, it might be buried, but like, I don't know what a totally politically neutral statement would be, you know? Cause like, even, you know, like the famous example within metal is like Burzum's records about Lord of the Rings. Like, he's writing about Lord of the Rings and you can be like, oh, that's not like a racist statement, but like to him it is, you know, like, he knows what he means.
Oh yeah. And if you, and just even if you kind of trace back what the, you know, the Lord of the Rings and how it's kind of problematic too.
Yeah. And Tolkien's views about the races of the world. Yeah,
exactly. So yeah, that's always the kind of the easy go-to one, you know? And like, I'm going to admit it, you know, I definitely like listened to some of those Burzum records in college. Sure. Cause you're like learning about it and it's like interesting. And you're like, man, this guy was in a band and he stabbed somebody and then killed them. And you're like, what the fuck? So yeah, I totally am guilty of listening to those records. But you know, if you just do your homework, you can kind of be like, oh, probably shouldn't listen to this.
No, I'm not. I mean, like, I encourage people to like, I don't know, like pirate his music and never listen to it on Spotify or do anything that's going to give him any money. Like, but like, to me, like Burzum was like actually a moderately formative band for me, but like, obviously I'm not going to like support that. Like, that guy sucks. He's a disgusting clown of a human being, you know?
Absolutely.
I think like, I don't know, like in terms of being better fans, I think it's making decisions like that. Like, I don't know, like you don't want to like, yeah, like making, I guess, vote with your dollars is a sort of precarious position to take, but like, I guess don't encourage Nazis with your dollars. Right.
Yeah, like, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's just sort of like having that conversation with yourself and being like, you know, is like, I guess one, is it worth it? And two, like, you know, am I like doing the right thing by just being like, yeah, I like listen to X and they may have said, you know, whatever about a certain subject and most people don't gel with it. And it's kind of like that decision, like even now, just like kind of acknowledging your privilege or acknowledging like how you've been able to kind of like survive in this world and like why, you know, you're not being as affected as deeply as some other people are right now. I think it's probably just like those conversations you have to have with yourself. So what I'm trying to say, fans, is just like do a little learning and do a little listening, I guess.
No, absolutely. And like, you know, woe befall the casual trophy hunt listener, I guess, that never sees us play or like doesn't do any like looking into who we are. Because I think like, you know, I guess it's not obvious if you just stumble across our record on Spotify, but we're like very visibly queer people, you know, like I don't think anyone would mistake us as like a right wing band. So like, I think anyone who's coming at it from that perspective is going to find themselves disappointed.
Yeah, but you probably wouldn't want them anyway. They probably would just be like kind of a goon.
I could care less, you know, like
that's fair.
I guess like at the end of the day, I don't concern myself with like the problematic parts of metal because it's just like I don't know. I guess I'm lucky because I live in a certain kind of bubble. Like I live in Brooklyn, you know, I live in a very gentrified stretch of Brooklyn. That is very accepting of queer people. And New York City hasn't always been this way, as I can attest, because I am from here. But like, I don't know, like I'm very privileged in that way to not have to deal with that on a daily basis, but I'm sure I'll confront it at some point. And I know what my position will be, you know, like those people can fuck off. I'm not even really interested in like reasoning with people or winning people over. Cause like, you know, that's like, the lesson I can give you as like a lifelong, I was raised vegetarian and very politically so. And one of the big things that I've taken away from this is you can't change anyone who's not already on their way. Like, you know, like someone who's like gonna waste your time trying to debate your views, they are 9 times out of 10 not interested in what you're saying, and you could tell the difference, you know, like,
yeah,
most people are just looking to waste your time. And I just like, yeah, I don't know. Like if someone's engaging in good faith, that's one thing, but getting bogged down in internet debates about the finer points of Burzum, for example, is not a worthwhile endeavor.
No, it's not. And like, I remember at the beginning of this, I was like engaging with a lot of people on social media and you realize that it's like, they're not inclined to read anything you say. You're just giving them an opportunity to kind of like put their point back out there again. And I think, yeah, to further your point, there it is kind of a waste to try and like convert that because like why, I guess like at this point in time, like sort of why bother with the shittier parts of the scene when you can work on building a bigger, more positive part of the scene?
Yeah, we're lucky enough that we're, like you're saying, we're at this like historical inflection point where there's a lot of like political and queer and like POC led bands that are really good, you know, like the scene was shallow like not even 10 years ago and you know there were good bands available, but it there wasn't quite the bounty we have now of like, you know, like almost every band we talked about in terms of like the good bands today that we've discussed are like POC or have women in it or have queer people in it, you know, like even some of those new metal bands we mentioned,
yeah,
the better ones anyway. And like, I don't know. I think we're at a very spoiled time in our lives where like, you know, like there's like Infant Island put out 2 black metal records. Right. And like, you know, their guitar player is a very openly gay kid, you know, and that fucking rules. Like, and it's just so inspiring to me as like someone who I, you know, in high school, I was very closeted, like, especially when I was in the scene, I just like, I didn't see that as a possibility for me. And like, I'm just so overjoyed at like the state of the scene now where you can have a bill like Black Flags. Again, we just keep coming back to that. And like, that's like the result of Kim's excellent friends and curation. And it's just like, you know, that's the scene now. Like those are like all the bands I want to play with, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I think it's a very unique, unique and special scene. You know, that's why I feel lucky to be able to go see a lot of the shows that I get to see and, you know, just, and like feel comfortable at shows and, you know, and it's also one of the reasons why I really, miss going to concerts. You know, I've been saying that almost like every episode that I record of this show, but I mean, it was such, like a crucial part of my being for the last like 2 or 3 years. And, you know, I don't ever want to take it for granted. Like, again, you know, I think probably just for a long time I did and was just not aware of it, but like, I never want to take it for granted again, because it's like, you know, being able to go to those shows is like such a fucking privilege when you think about it. Like, cause I'm sure there's people that love that music, but they can't go for
totally
X number of reasons.
I think that's a reason, like, you know, like it's not pushed as hard as it should be, but like accessible venues, man, like that's like a really like important thing, you know, like for like a lot of like differently abled people are sort of barred out of our scenes because, like, you know, there's not seating at a show, or there's not like, you know, wheelchair accessibility, or there's not like, you know, protections for like people in those positions. And that sucks. Like, we're missing out on a crucial amount of like marginalized people who might get involved, you know. And generally, when we're talking about metal, we're talking about people who do feel marginalized, you know, who feel like kind of put out by the broader society, right? Like, that's the, yeah, like the classic story of metal or punk is like, in some way you were misfit, right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's, yeah, I mean, I was like a dweeb in high school, so that's why I kind of like gravitated a little bit more towards it. So I'm still a dweeb. What am I talking about?
Yeah, but like, that rules. Like, being a dweeb is awesome. And like, that's, you know, like, I don't know, like I'm someone who always really like dug into music and like wanted to know everything about a band and read the lyrics and read the liner notes and find out who produced what and blah blah blah. Like, that's my shit. Like, and I love stuff like this where we're just sitting down and like talking about it, you know, like just macking on it.
Yeah, I've always enjoyed that too. Like, I like, my girlfriend's always just like, how do you just know all this shit? I'm like, just go on like Wikipedia and read about it, and then you just find like 15 articles where you just read about the history of whatever band it is. So it's all out there. That's what, yeah, I do. I love learning about like who did production work, and like, and I don't know anything really about production work. I just like to see like who has like worked on this and what led to them working on that, and this person did sessions here. I, you know, just a bunch of weird random music knowledge that I think is interesting. And also what I find is just like when you see how many bands people play in, that's something else I've always found very fascinating, because there's a lot of turnover in some metal bands.
Oh, I love that though. It's like, you know, the band set of like Tennessee crust bands that were so influential to me is just like 10 people who all played in the same bands, you know, like.
Yeah. And what is like, even some of these bands, I feel like there's, by the time you see them, you, if they existed for like, I don't know, 20 years, and by the time you see them at 20 years, it's like, is this even like any of the people who formed the band, or are they just like kind of keeping it going?
Sure. Yeah, that definitely happens. Yeah.
So I like all that random, random trivia. Moving away from all that, like, what have you been listening to, like, while you're in quarantine that you've been enjoying?
Oh, man. Like, tons and tons of, like, modern screamo. Like, that is, like, fully my scene. We've ended up playing with a lot of those bands, and, like, there are so many good ones. There's a band from Bridgeport, Connecticut, who are weirdly sort of, like, Brooklyn locals, called Foxtails, who play a very like experimental and chaotic screamo with like death metal influence and grind influence, and they're just like all over the place, and some of the like most astounding musicians I've ever met, and they're just so young and so cool, and they're like my favorite active band. So that's definitely been like high on my list. I've been listening to this band Senza from Portland, who play a very like mathy black metal. I would say it's very like almost like if Dillinger wanted to play black metal. You know.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what else. I feel like I've actually like been on a record ordering binge because of all those like days where people were waiving fees. I got the new Chapang record, Chata, which is incredible. They're a Nepalese band located in Brooklyn who play just like extremely chaotic grindcore. I actually think they were on Black Flags with us.
Yes, they were. I think Sunrot was telling me that Chipang, they were telling me about that. I haven't checked it out yet.
They had
some
giant acoustic drums that made their way into the mosh pit, and it was very fun.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. I think weirdly, as I've said, I've been digging into some like older music that I listened to when I was younger, and listening to a lot of like this band Scarling, which was like the shoegaze project of the woman who sang for Jack Off Jill. And they're like really incredible. And I recommend anyone check them out, because that is some underappreciated music. And then just like, I don't know, like more like low-key stuff. Like there's a Sensual World record I really like that just came out. I kind of all over the board. Weirdly, like usually I have some doom metal in the rotation, but I think I've been listening to less because I actually am starting a doom metal project.
Oh, very cool. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I am starting a project called Sleep Violence that... It's me. I'm playing guitar. This woman Val, who sings in a band, who plays bass in a band called All You Know Is Hell, is singing for us. And our friends Angela and Irene, who played bass in the crust band Remain, and we're doing a very like, I don't know, like we're coming at it from like an angle of trying to do this like very like Chelsea Wolfe-y thing to like really highlight Val is an incredible singer. And I think we're all just like trying to build this foundation for her to just like sing over, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we're probably, so Trophy Hunt is going to record, I think, next month. And then Sleep Violence is going to record right after that. So we should have something out in the fall. And I'm really excited about that because it's just like, that style of playing guitar is so the opposite of what I do in Trophy Hunt. And I've gotten to like pull out a lot of like techniques that I don't really use in other places, and like influences that I am not really drawing from for Trophy Hunt, because we don't really go slow, you know?
Right. Of course. I'm excited to see how that turns out. You definitely have one person's interest pegged for it. Is that Irene, like Black Metal Pastry Chef Irene?
Yeah, that is exactly the Irene I'm talking about. She's
my best friend. Irene. Oh, really? Okay, so we just saw Irene over the weekend, actually.
Amazing.
I surprised my girlfriend with a belated anniversary cake that Irene was was so gracious to make for us. And it was it was a s'mores cake, and it was fucking insane, and it was like huge, and like honestly probably like the best cake I've ever had in my life. I'm not even fucking lying.
Astounding baker. She's incredible, and that is such a sweet anniversary gift. I love that.
Yeah, there were, I'm not gonna go into the details, obviously it's not my place. Just Irene ran into, I guess, some potholes, and her life kind of got turned upside down for a little while, so some timing didn't work out. So, but yeah, it all worked out in the end, you know?
I'm so glad. Yeah, I've been keeping in touch with her. But that's like, Irene's someone who's like so special to me. Like, I love her a lot. And I honestly, like, I joined the band when it was just, it started with just Angela and me. And like, part of my ulterior motive, I like wanted to play the music, and I had like some like, definitely like doom metal influences I wanted to pull from. But like, a big part of it was just trying to come up with a reason for Irene and I to play in a band together.
Sure, sure.
I've been wanting to play with her for a really long time.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I had even like, I had been scheming for a long time of like ways to work her into Trophy Hunt somehow, but it didn't pan out.
Now I'm super excited. That's going to be really cool. I'll definitely keep my eyes out for that.
I'm very excited.
Cool. Well, I guess you kind of plugged that. But I mean, is there anything else you wanted to promote or plug at this time?
You know, I wish I had something. I just, you know, it seems like things are improving in New York City. So fingers crossed that like, we're going to be able to get back to normal and get into the studio and do the things we need to do. But I just don't know what the timeline's going to be for another release. I think it's very likely we'll have another EP out this year. That's my intention, you know?
Awesome. it's just trophyhunt.bandcamp.com, right? If you wanted to, if you want to go pick up the new record,
yeah, or stream it on Spotify.
Yes, or stream on Spotify, but Bandcamp is probably a little more, probably a little bit more beneficial for you compared to the, what I think I heard, was it like 400th of a cent?
I honestly have no idea. I don't think we're even, I don't pay attention to the Spotify. I would, listen, my deal is I'm happy if people are just listening to the record. Just please listen to the record.
There you go. And it's called Silent Intercom. Mm-hmm. And would you mind if I put a song here at the end of the podcast?
Not at all. Be my guest.
Okay. I can plug one in there. So we'll close out with a song from Trophy Hunt. I'm not sure what it's going to be, but you'll hear it at the end of this episode. And thank you so much for coming on. This was great. I had a great time talking with you.
Dylan, thank you. This was like such a lovely conversation. I'm so happy.
And that will do it for this chapter of the diary.